a fascinating machlokas brought down about whether it is appropriate or not to cry on Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon is brought down in the Sefer Ma'aseh Rav as being of the opinion that ein livkos Rosh Hashanah. A person should not cry in Rosh Hashanah. And as a proof for this position, he cites the psukim in the end of Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, in which after the Jewish people came back to Israel and the Torah was read to them and they started crying, the Navi specifically tells them, Al titabluv, al tivku, you shouldn't be mourning, you shouldn't be sad, you shouldn't be crying. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, you see that it's simply inappropriate to be crying. Ein livkos Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, a number of svarim bring down the practice of the Arizal, who personally nahag livkos Rosh Hashanah. He had the personal practice of crying on Rosh Hashanah as well as on Yom Kippur. And then he added, for great measure, kol mi she'eino bocha b'yamim elu, ein nishmaso tova ushlem. Anyone who doesn't cry on these days, not only Yom Kippur, but even Rosh Hashanah, if you don't cry on those days, there's something off with your neshama. Ein nishmaso tova ushlema. You need a spiritual checkup because there's something lacking in your neshama and in your spiritual makeup. So he felt very, very strongly that you should cry. And presumably he felt that the Psukim in Ezra Nechamir were describing a one-time and unique historical situation. But in general, the Arizal said one absolutely should cry on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And it seems clear that the deeper issue animating this machlokes is actually about the whole nature of the day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, I would argue, perhaps our most complex holiday. And on the one hand, there are clearly elements of din. The whole world is judged. Individuals are judged. The lives of our families, our own lives, are hanging in the balance. On the other hand, it's a Yom Tov. And there are many of the typical characteristics of a Yom Tov that are also existing on Rosh Hashanah. And it seems as if the Vilna Gaon and the Arizal are arguing about which one of these themes is the dominant one in Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon's perspective seems to be that while it's true that there is a din, there's a judgment, and of course we take that seriously, but fundamentally this is a Yom Tov, and therefore a happy day like other Yom Tovim. Whereas the Arizal seems to feel that the true nature and character of Rosh Hashanah is that of a day of din. It may technically be a Yom Tov, but its real personality is that of din, which of course is scary, and if you take that seriously, then certainly it would explain why a person would be moved to tears if they take that judgment so seriously and in a very, very deep and meaningful way. In hundreds of years before this machlokes, there was an earlier machlokes which seems to revolve around the same issue. And that is the machlokes in the Gaonim about whether it's appropriate to fast or not on Rosh Hashanah. This is somewhat unfamiliar to many people because, in fact, we paskan in Shulchan Aruch that you cannot fast. You must have Sudas Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah. But in the Gaonim, it was actually a real wide-ranging debate. Some felt that you should not fast at all. Some felt that it was kind of a reshus. You could fast if you wanted, and perhaps maybe not on the first day, because that's the Oraisa, but certainly if you want, you could fast on the second day. And then there was a third view that actually felt it was a mitzvah. No one said it's obligatory, but some said it was actually a mitzvah to fast. So you had a full range of views. And as I mentioned, we paskin that you don't fast, you actually must eat. But the very fact that you have this machlokes, something which never would happen on Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, there's no machlokes, no one has a havamina, you could fast on those holidays. And yet, on Rosh Hashanah, uniquely, you have this wide range of views. And again, here also, it seems clear and evident that the machlokes is not just about the technical question of eating and fasting, but about this deeper issue. What is the true character of the day? Is it truly a day of simcha? And therefore, of course, you would eat like other Yom Tovim? Or is it perhaps more dominantly a day of din, in which perhaps you might encourage or at least permit fasting? And as I said, we paskin that you can't fast, and therefore it seems like, at least on that basic question, we seem to nod towards the simcha and the Yom Tov theme of the day. Perhaps a way, at least on a hashkafic level, on a philosophical, deeper level, perhaps a third way, so to speak, a kosav hashlishi, not this or that, but perhaps some kind of a hybrid combination, perhaps a deeper understanding might be based on an idea that I heard many years ago from Mori Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig, and also saw sometime after that, a very similar idea, not with the exact same language, but really the same essential idea from the great sage in Yerushalayim, Rav Shlomo Fisher, in his Sefer Beis Yishai. And they both, Rav Rosenzweig and Rav Shlomo Fisher, made the point that on the one hand, what gives Rosh Hashanah its greatest potency as a unique and scary day, perhaps, is the fact that it's a day of judgment. No doubt about that. On the other hand, the very fact that we stand alone in judgment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are privileged to have a private audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we say in the Nesana Tokef, each one of us stands one-on-one Kivnei Maron, for our personal and private meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That intimacy, that personal privilege that we are afforded to be one-on-one with Hashem, is in fact the greatest privilege and the greatest source of simcha and comfort that a person could have in this world. It's one thing to be judged by a rookie judge, by a night court judge, a backbench judge, but here we're being judged by the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Only the most choshev, only the most important of litigants would merit to be judged by the supremest of all judges. And it's a one-on-one. That is itself a great source of comfort and inspiring and simcha. And therefore, evidently what we see is that the very thing which causes our anxiety is the very same phenomenon which could bring us the greatest comfort and simcha. Rav Rosenzweig suggested that this duality, or even dialectic we could call it, is very meduyak in the beautiful words of the Rambam and his commentary to the Mishnah in the Parashah Mishnayos, where when the Rambam explains why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam starts off speaking very powerfully and eloquently about how it's a scary day and it's an intimidating day and we're frightened for our lives, and therefore Mivrach Umanos Eilav. And therefore, because we're so scared, we're running and we're fleeing Eilav towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We would have expected the Rambam to conclude that because we're so scared, we run milafonav, we're running away from him. But in fact, the Rambam says we are mivrach umanos eilav, we run towards Hashem. Because on the one hand, it's Hashem's judgment that scares us. On the other hand, if we're truly scared, where else would we rather be but in the loving embrace, an intimate position with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, Rosh Hashanah, in fact, contains elements of both, because it's the intimacy of the judgment which is the source of both our anxiety and our greatest simcha. Wishing everyone a shana tova, a good kibbutz yuar.